Well, today, of course, is October 15th, the great feast day of St. Teresa of Avila, also known as St. Teresa of Jesus, one of the great women saints in the history of the church, certainly one of the great saints of Spain. And I was thinking, well, do I know any little anecdotes about Spain? And I remember two little ones. A fellow goes to a restaurant in Madrid. He's never been to Spain before, doesn't speak any Spanish. The waiter doesn't speak any English, but he wants to order steak and mushrooms. So he draws a picture of a cow and a picture of a mushroom, and he gives it to the waiter. 10 minutes later, the waiter comes back with an umbrella and two tickets to the bullfight. And the other one I remembered was this fellow goes to Spain. And he comes back home, and his friend says, "Where did you visit?" And the fellow says, "Well, we went to San Jose and San Juan." And the friend says, "Well, in Spain, it's San Jose and San Juan." And then he says to his friend, "When did you go?" And his friend says, "Well, I just got back. I went in Hun and Hulai." So let's talk about this great Spanish saint for a few moments, St. Teresa of Avila. Born in Avila in the year 1515, one of 10 children, born into a very devout and wealthy Catholic family. As a young girl, she read the lives of the saints. She read about the martyrs, and she and her brother were so inspired that they wanted to go become martyrs as well. And so when they were about 8 and 10 years old, they packed a knapsack with some food and clothing and began walking. And they decided they were going to walk down to northern Africa because they wanted to be martyred by the Moors. Well, luckily, their uncle found them around the block and brought them home. But it's that story does give us a little glimpse into the heart of the great Teresa of Avila, this fearless woman of prayer and commitment to Christ. As a young woman, she was very beautiful, very charming, very lively personality, very cheerful and good spirits, a great sense of humor. She played the flute and rode horses, and she was just an exceptional young woman, very brilliant as well in her studies. Her mother died when she was only 15 years of age, so after that, she sort of discerned her vocation, which was to become a Carmelite. So at the age of 20, even though her father was very much opposed to it, she was willing to get him to eventually come around to let her enter the Carmelite monastery. So she entered the Carmelites, but she had a lot of health issues, and so she was almost in bed, I think, for about 3 years. But she persevered, and her health got a little bit better. But she just lived a life of prayer and penance for these many years. But she realized that the Carmelites needed reform. They had sort of become a little bit more lax. So she wanted to go back to the original Carmelites. So along with St. John of the Cross and St. Peter Alcantara, she began to try to reform the order of Carmel. And so she began to get permission from the bishop and the pope to go around and really renew the Carmelites. They became known as the discalced Carmelites because they did not wear sandals. And they lived a much more strict observance. So really for the next 25 years until her death at the age of 65, she would go around establishing these monasteries throughout Spain. So about 40 monasteries she helped to establish during her life. Now, some people were opposed to this reform that she was bringing about. In fact, some people tried to get rid of her. Even some of the nuns tried to get rid of her because they didn't want to be reformed. So Teresa, when she went to visit these convents and these monasteries, she only ate hard-boiled eggs, because they knew if she gave them soup, they could poison the soup. So she had to be careful. But she went around traveling and doing tremendous work for the church. And on one occasion, it was a very cold night, rainy and damp, and she was on horseback, and the horse got startled and threw her off the horse, and she landed in mud and water. And she looked up to the Lord and said, "Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few of them." So she was able to talk to the Lord like that, you know, with this amazing strength of her personality and her intimate relationship with the Lord. So she continued to travel and set up monasteries, spent a great deal of time each day in prayer as well. And she would write. She would write many letters. She would write many books, including The Interior Castle, which is all about the stages of the spiritual life. She wrote a book, her autobiography, called The Life. So it's all about her own spiritual life. And then The Way of Perfection. I would encourage you to try to read the books if you find them a little too challenging or a little too deep or theological. Well, then maybe get some biographies about St. Teresa. There's been some very good books written about the writings and spirituality of St. Teresa. Father Dubé's book, what's it called? Interior Fire, I forget the exact name, but something like that. Father Dubé's book, it might come to me. But also a great book by Father Rohrbach called In Conversation with Christ, which is all about prayer. And Father Dubé's book called The Fire Within. Okay, a great book, and that's about the writings of Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross. Father Dubé, a great master of the spiritual life. But the book In Conversation with Christ is a good summary of the writings of St. Teresa of Avila. So an incredible woman, died at the age of 65 after a great bit of suffering, canonized in 1622 and declared the first woman doctor of the church in 1970 by Pope Paul VI. And after her was Catherine of Siena and now St. Therese of Little Flower. So again, we honor today one of the greatest women saints of the church, a great contemplative and mystic, a reformer, the foundress of many monasteries, and a great saint and doctor of the church. So St. Teresa of Avila, pray for us.